story, so we can add this to the political drama. And I'll just quoting, what's his name, Larry Johnson, the CIA, former CIA agent, in his analysis, and others as well today, the 2nd of January 26, where someone shoots missiles at the summer house or something of the president of, in this case, the Russia. And that also happens to be a nuclear something where they have radars that can detect incoming nuclear attacks and trigger defense against them. Now, if someone attacks that, it's very, very serious, and it can trigger that response itself. That's what he says. And who did it? The Russians say it happened, and enough many experts out there that I listen to tend to agree. They believe so too. But why would Zelensky do it? Why would the Ukrainian president, whatever he is, order such a thing to happen just at the same time as he's sitting in a meeting with Donald Trump, basically, about peace negotiations? So his, Larry Johnson's, I would say, informed theory was that, or is that, it could have been done by opponents to Zelensky in his own government. There are these heavy Bandera people behind there, together with the MI6 and maybe also the CIA. Which makes sense. You need Western intelligence to do such a thing. It's not an easy thing to do. And in this way, they will sabotage the peace negotiations between Trump and Zelensky, who, he says here, is more like a, like the little monkey that plays on the organ of the organ grinder. He was chosen, you know, he worked out well, short, cute looking guy, little charm like that, and he can speak a little English, and he's an actor. He can act the role you want him to act, and he gets good paid for that. But now his role is over. He's not of any use anymore. So they want to replace him, and this might be a good way, and also to escalate and pull the US into the war. Or on which side? No one, I mean, it gets weird. But he also said, and now I'm mixing up from a couple of such experts of today, what they say, that makes sense to me. To illustrate this for people who don't want to just get into whole political analysis, we can show it's the British Empire that is still there. It didn't disappear in the 50s or whatever it was, or after the Second World War. It just went underground. It shifted enormous financial resources over to what was left, what colonies they kept, and which they kept very carefully because they are the offshore paradises there, where such money can be laundered or whatever, dealt with and preserved and used. And money walks, nobody talks. I mean, that's what it's all about anyway, isn't it? So the city of London, and then that's also where we, in our story, we kind of pan into, zoom into now and then, because there's something pointing to that area there, north of the Thames in London, called the City of London, where these old dynasties of lords and controllers who had been running the British Empire for hundreds of years are sitting, same families, same tribe. And that this whole thing that is going on is actually them trying now desperately to hold on. Because, yes, it became the American Empire, US Empire. But oh, they are so good friends, Britain and US, aren't they? And someone said the bullets are shot from the US, but the guns are loaded in in Britain. There's a lot of money there somewhere also. And we could even probably, but I don't think we should, because, but I'm just saying it, that Zionism, which is not equal to Judaism, but which is a political, I would say far right or far whatever, phalang, consisting of Jews mainly, probably, but with political objectives, just as we find such nationalist movements within all religions, using religion or whatever. So, but maybe we should stay away from that. That they may also, it seems that there's a connection there. Interesting connections, and also connection to Ukraine, from where many of the actual citizens of Israel come, who are not Semites at all, which the Palestinians are, though. So yeah, I mean, we could tell the story if we want to. Again, I'm just describing a possible storyline here for my whatever it will be. Yeah, so I mean, when we start showing it like this, it gets interesting, doesn't it? And I think this is a good way, because here we can then directly show the history of colonialism and neo-colonialism and how it actually looks and what is actually probably behind it all. And they are ready to go to World War III to preserve their empire, which they did a couple of times before. Hmm. then we got India, what happened there back in the colonial days, and what's happening now. We got China and the Opium Wars, we got this and that. It's a story.